Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch, inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show every day right here on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. Because as everyone knows, Scott is a legend in his own mind.
Welcome back. Just a few days, we'll know who's going to be playing for the national title. College football playoff rankings, the final ones. Like, I guess it's the final ones, yeah.
For sure.
They'll be on Sunday. There's Notre Dame sitting just on the cusp.
Right there.
No head coach. I money talks, I guess, man. I don't know. But I'm wondering, though, what do the Irish do going forward? Because the opportunity is there. They just need a couple of breaks. And those breaks could happen.
Very much. Yeah, they could.
Joining us now to say Tama Hotline covers college football for the Sporting News. Bill Bender, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Buddy, I'm well. And Bill, we're getting the reports that Marcus Freeman likely to be offered the job at Notre Dame. Two questions. One, how likely is it that he becomes the next head coach at Notre Dame, in your estimation? And two, could this also merely be a smokescreen by Notre Dame to belay any concerns for the selection committee to show continuity and let them know that they're the same team going forward that they were last week, the week before, and so on?
No, I think they're going to hire him. I mean, I don't think that would be a smokescreen. I think because, you know, they've got a – once you hire him, he's hired. And then the signing day, my editor just sent me a text that said 9 Power 5 jobs have been filled before December 2nd. And that's just part of that signing day thing, too. So I think Marcus Freeman will be the next coach. And, you know, it's a good – given that what you're hearing from their players, it's what they want.
What does that say about Notre Dame? How much that university has evolved now that it seems to be – doing its due diligence within its own house, talking to the players, seeing what they want before they go out and put on a campaign that could really hire just about any coach they want other than Brian Kelly.
Yeah, that makes sense, you know, and it just shows that they have a trust and confidence in Marcus Freeman. I mean, I've been thinking about this a lot. He's only been there for 1 year, and for these players to take hold of that, a young guy, 35, college football's changing with NIL and the transfer. I mean, the transfer portal's crazy. And this is a guy that I think speaks to the players. So I think it was a good hire. I like his energy, his vision. And as far as you guys asked about the college football playoff, does this legitimize them? They never like to admit it, but I would think the answer is yes, right? Like, okay, well, now they have a head coach. Maybe we can consider them a little more.
Yeah, I agree completely, Bill. I mean, it just shows continuity, but I also think you consider them more because they also have that proverbial chip on their shoulder to play with now. If they were to get a shot in the playoffs, you have to think that would be motivational fuel for this team, considering the way their coach just kind of bolted into early morning hours on Monday.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this has been the wildest coaching carousel to date. There's no question. I mean, when you have a guy leave Oklahoma for USC, and you have a guy leave Notre Dame for LSU, and the money numbers involved, the transferring going on. I wonder what we have left. I mean, we've had 23 so far. I think we're going to get up to 30.
Bill, should we get rid of the phrase destination job then? I'm of the mind that what we have now are lifestyle jobs, that the money is so crazy everywhere that if you're a head coach, your career aspiration isn't to be the next head coach at Nebraska. It's not to be the next head coach at Michigan. It's to go anywhere because you're going to get paid and you can make it your own.
Lifestyle job's a good way to put it. I might have to steal that.
You're welcome. You can have it.
That's really good because you're right. I mean, Lincoln Riley, he had it good either way from a football standpoint, but I think at USC he's going to be able to build it his way and build that offense and play in the Pac-12, live in California, that's a lifestyle choice. Brian Kelly's 60 years old, you know? And I think program-wise, as you've seen, you know, the LSU and Notre Dame by record are separated by a half game since 2010. But it's the things that he'll be able to do at LSU that maybe he wasn't able to do at Notre Dame But I think that's a little bit overrated because part of the Freeman hire was he'll be able to relate to recruits, I think, a little bit better because of his personality. That's just me.
I agree 100% with that. And look, the life of a coach isn't very long at a particular school. Nick Saban is such an anomaly, but he's had incredible success. Once you get around to that 10, 11, 12-year mark, you should start looking, I guess, for your next move. I don't fault Brian Kelly for leaving. I really don't, but I do fault for the way it was handled. But again, Bill, I guess it was just part of the circumstances, given the timing, especially with that early signing period, that he had to take this opportunity while he could. I don't fault him.
Well, and then you wouldn't fault Luke Fickell if he would have taken the job, as hard as that would have been. So I think that I'm less worried about all the Brian Kelly's horrible stories that were coming out yesterday. This is a business, and it's a cutthroat business, and he could have been fired before the last game just as easily. So at some point in his career. So I they made a big deal about the 11-minute meeting, but I was kind of laughing at one of my buddies. He texted, well, what do you have to say other than goodbye? And I'm like, that's fair. So, yeah, it's just that's part of this business now.
We're joined by Bill Bender of the Sporting News. Follow him on Twitter, at BillBender92. Bill, what's next for Luke Fickell, man? I mean, it seemed to me that this was his second-best option after Ohio State. Unless Ryan Day leaves, that job's not going to be opening up anytime soon. Is Luke Fickell good? I mean, they are headed to a Power 5. I have to think that's going to mean a bump in pay. Maybe he just stays there for the foreseeable future and really builds something there that people can look at and go, you know what, maybe that's a lifestyle job.
Yeah, and for him, maybe it is because his family's there. And I know he's an Ohio guy. He's been ingrained in Ohio pretty much his whole life as a Buckeye lifer, as a high school player, able to recruit Cincinnati that way. And maybe he thought – with his family that, hey, we're going to a power conference. You know, we're going to the Big 12. I continue to build what I have here, and it won't be just a one-year thing. And I've heard him say that out loud. So maybe that was part of his decision. And he can be happy that Marcus Freeman got a job. So for him, I'm glad, because if Cincinnati gets to the playoffs, there isn't this, like, Luke Fickell is in the playoffs but is going to take the Notre Dame job. I think it makes it special that this is his team and he's staying.
And Bill, this again, this carousel has been crazy. So many changes. That stat, 9 Power 5 changes already. That's incredible. Is there a school out there, though, that really shocked you that didn't make a move? One you expected to already have had a decision made by this point in the season, but the coach is still in place? Besides Miami, that doesn't count.
I mean, yeah, not really. Miami obviously keeping Manny, and Nebraska got it out of the way. I think Nebraska is just this string of bad luck, one score losses. I mean, it's amazing how many of those they lost this year. So, Scott Frost, it'll be on him to change that. But, you know, I mean, other than that, I mean, every one that came open makes sense from the standpoint. I mean, the Oklahoma and the Brian Kelly and Lincoln Riley moves obviously are shocking, but there's nothing after that where I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they did that.
Bill, I'm of the mind that what Jim Harbaugh did last year, he was at the end of his contract. They reworked the deal. It basically cuts his pay in half, but he recoups the money via incentives, and it's worked out fabulously for him. They're doing something comparable with Scott Frost at Nebraska. I'm of the mind that should be the template going forward. Can you see that being the norm, or are we going to see more of Lincoln Riley-like deals? Are we going to see more Brian Kelly-like deals?
I mean, the market's going to have to correct it. So I don't know that we'll see the deals like, you know, because – Mel Tucker kind of reset. As much as we talk about Harbaugh, Mel Tucker getting a raise that he got, everybody else has got to be asking, well, what about me now? And I don't know what the correction will be after, but that's a ton of money to throw around at coaches. And it's gotten a little absurd. It's gotten a little silly. But I'm not saying Mel Tucker's not worth it, but that's kind of the market now. So, I mean, Jim Harbaugh, I think what he did was right. He took a pay cut because the performance wasn't great. And he went out and hired a new staff and won the big games this year. I mean, he didn't win Michigan State, but he's got the Wolverines on the cusp of the playoff. It's one of the best coaching jobs of the year.
Bill, I'd like to point something out. I'm sure you've thought about this, but if not, I'd like to get your reaction. The Mel Tucker situation, from all indications, from what I've read and what I've been told, mainly driven by two Michigan State graduates with beaucoup dollars, as Piccoli would say, and they set the market. Two guys that went to Michigan State set the market, and now Lincoln Riley's reaping the benefits of it. James Franklin reaping the benefits of it. So's Brian Kelly.
Yep, and I mean that was the windfall of it. And the other side is, you know, we'll see who gets hired and what that is. And again, when and if they ever expand the playoffs, it's going to slide that definition of what success is. I mean, that's another thing to watch as we move forward is what is success and what is a failure. I mean, getting to the 12 or 18 playoff will be considered a success soon because it's four, a little bit tougher because, as everybody knows, those other pools take on a little bit less meaning. I mean, Ohio State fans, I never thought I'd say this, they're not going to be all that excited about going to the Rose Bowl this year.
Good stuff from Bill Bender of the Sporting News. You can follow him on Twitter at BillBender92. Bill, appreciate you coming on this morning, man. Enjoy the weekend.
And no problem. Thanks for having me on, guys. Take care.
It's Bill Bender joining us on the Saitama Hotline. The